Hey, all right. Once again, this microphone always in the wrong spot. All right, Reg, how are you doing, sir? Ready to go? Me too. All right, let's do this thing. Episode 416, put it in the book. You ready? Star, smile, strong. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. And don't forget, listening is an important part of the process, but so is getting out there and telling your friends and telling your family and tell anybody who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. Don't forget, if you like what you hear, you can always go to WGNRadio.com and hear more of it. Go to the podcast section of the website, look for the prompt for this podcast, and then you will be treated to a plethora of podcasts just sitting there waiting for you to listen, to enjoy, and to be entertained by. And if you're not too careful, you might just learn something. There's lots in there. Just keep scrolling down and loading more. Scrolling down and loading more. After all, this is episode number 416. So I always like to keep you updated on events that happen in my life. We're doing this podcast basically as a way to connect, as I've said many times, even though hopefully thousands, millions of people listen. I don't know how many do listen on a regular basis, but I'm going to pretend it's millions. At the same time, I try to present it to you in such a way that it feels like it's just a one-on-one conversation with you. After all, you are listening right now. I'm in your ears, not in anyone else's. I'm in your earbuds. I'm in your headphones. I'm in your car stereo, wherever you're listening to this podcast. It's just you and me, kid. So I always try to make it a one-on-one and talk about not only what's going on in the world and talk about different topics and blah, 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 but also I, as you know, will dip into my personal life for some fodder to discuss. Several months ago, I also like to update things when I talk about something, perhaps. That's why I always say it's always good to listen, not only on a weekly basis, but also, go back if you've missed anything. Know where we've been so you know where we're going. Been doing this now. I think we're getting close to the 8-year anniversary when the podcast first debuted in 2016. It was May, and I it might be this week sometime actually. I have to look in my day planner because I do have it marked. Loyal listener Craig gave me some information. I didn't really even have the day that it started because at the time you're like, well, you know, okay, what day are you putting it on? Whatever. But then as it's gone on and it's been going on and on and on now for more than 400 episodes and almost 8 years, that start date takes on a little more importance. But I do have it written down now. It's in my daily planner book, so I'll have to look for that. So it might either be this week or next week that we celebrate our 8th anniversary. with more than 400 podcasts. So if you've been here from the beginning, as I said before, your loyalty and devotion are much, much, much appreciated. But as I said, I like to also refer back to things that we've talked about if they need an update, if they need something, something happens that goes on to continue the story. And back in November, podcast 391, for those of you who are counting, if you want to go back and listen to that, either after this one or now that I've given you that hint, before you continue to listen to this one, you might want to go to that one and listen to that one again and refresh your memory so this one makes more sense. But I will give you a little recap to be continued previously on Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, as they do on the to be continued episodes on television. Back in November, I told you that that I had broken a tooth. I was chewing on some granola, on a granola bar, and as I was chewing, I noticed something kind of hard in there, and I didn't know what it was. I thought it was just a piece of granola or something that was, you know, some foreign object that was in the granola bar. And thought, woof, this was, a lot of times, you know, there's stuff in food that gets in there and the processing plants, you read about that all the time. And I'm like, woof, at least I caught this, and I spit the granola bar out, and I sort of weeded through it. Thankfully, it wasn't all that chewed yet. It was one of my first couple of chews, and so it wasn't a mess, but I did spit it out, and I went through it, and I saw this little round shard of something, wasn't sure what it was, but I was just grateful that I, you know, didn't do any damage, or so I thought. So after I swallowed it, I took a glass of water just to clear out my my mouth, and I felt this weird feeling by one of my teeth. And it felt like there was something stuck in between, you know, when you like get like a popcorn kernel or something stuck in between your tooth. So I went to get the floss, and I flossed it, and I got right in there. So I figure, okay, there's no way, you know, I'm definitely getting this thing out of there. I wasn't near a mirror. I just sort of, we have floss down, have floss in a couple of spots in the house. And so I just grabbed some out of the cabinet and flossed it real quick. And then I put my tongue in that spot, and I still felt it. I was like, well, that's weird. I was right there. Whatever was lodged in there, it should have come out. I mean, actually, as I said, I was just eating a granola bar, so maybe something that I ate got lodged in there. Well, then I go to the mirror, because I'm like, okay, where, what tooth is this? Am I getting in the right spot? And as I go to the mirror to look to see where I should again apply the floss, I notice that a nice little chunk of my tooth is missing. And, you know, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to realize that 1 + 1 = 2. Wait a minute, that little piece of something, that unidentified piece of something, was a piece of my broken tooth. And I went back and looked, and because it was still there on the table, and I kind of wiped it off, and it, sure enough, it was a little, it was a piece of the tooth. I don't know how much more I may have swallowed. I don't know. It wasn't a huge part of the tooth, but it was certainly cracked. And so then I went to the dentist, assuming that I would just need a crown on that broken tooth. And then, as I said in the last podcast, whenever you see a doctor and you take a test of any kind, and I've taken my share of tests, especially over the last 10 years or so, whenever they go, huh, it's not a good sign. It's not a good sign. You don't want the doctor to go, huh. When the doctor goes, huh, something's going on. They usually don't say anything. But when they give out that, huh, that little questioning, huh, that means there's something amiss. Hopefully it's not serious, but it's not normal, right? Huh. Well, I got the, and I said, well, what's that? And so the technician who took the x-ray of my tooth before the dentist came in said, are you in pain right now? And I said, no. In fact, I didn't even know I broke my tooth until I saw it. And he said, well, you know, it's not just because they take a, you know, an x-ray of your entire mouth. It was the upper tooth. It was number 14, by the way. Number 13, I believe, was the tooth that was broken. But he was referring to number 14, the one before the last tooth on the upper side, on my left side. And he said, well, huh. And then he, because he said, because according to this x-ray, the tooth next to the one you broke, there seems to be a crack in that high up near the root. And now I had had a root canal on that tooth many years ago, in my 20s. And so, you know, that's a dead tooth. So you don't really feel any pain. It's all the nerves are gone. The tooth was broke, so it didn't cause any pain necessarily. But the fact is that it was broken, and apparently from what the dentist was telling me then, you know, you're opening yourself up for infection and other kind of problems because now there's some spot where bacteria can get in and blah, 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 blah. And so I went in there for this broken tooth that was visible, but it turned out that that was kind of the least of my worries in the tooth department, because this other tooth that seemingly was fine, I had no pain, I had no idea it was cracked, it was, you know, it was high up into my gum, that one needed more immediate attention. He's like, we really need to pull that tooth and take care of that, and then you'll need an implant, you know, to replace that tooth, because they're going to have to pull that tooth out. We need to get that tooth out of there. It's only going to cause more problems if you just leave it in there now that it's cracked. I had no idea when it cracked, how long it had been cracked, but I know that I had x-rays from a year before or so, and it wasn't cracked then, so whether it cracked sometime before and I wasn't aware, or if it cracked at the same time with this apparently very lethal granola bar that did a lot of damage. I didn't even want the granola bar. In retrospect, I wasn't like starving. I was like, well, I'll have a little granola bar here. It was, you know, and it wind up that was a very expensive one bite of a granola bar too, in retrospect, very expensive. This implants, I'm still going through this. That's what I'm going to talk about today, but it's a very expensive procedure because it is a very lengthy procedure with several steps. It's not something that you take care of in 2 seconds. The broke tooth that I initially thought was my only problem, that I had done quickly, you know, had the crown put on, bing, ba boom, ba bang, done. You know, it feels fine. But this other tooth, which I had no idea had a problem, is turning out to be a lingering issue here. Not because I'm in any pain, but just because the process of installing this implant is long because of the various healing processes that have to take place before you can complete the entire procedure. And so, I had no idea what I was in for. I went in November of last year, 2023, toward the end of November, and then I had the tooth pulled. And then you have to wait like at least 3 months because to put the next, to get into the next procedure, they pull the tooth out. Then they put like a post in there. And then after the post is in, then it has to heal. So first your tooth has to heal from the extraction. Then after that's healed, then they have to put the post in, which is kind of like an open or hollow screw, like you know, when you have a female and male part of an extension cord, the female part, the accepting part, It kind of screws into your gum and into your jaw. I know. I hope you're not eating it this time. And I hope you're not eating a granola bar by all means. Stay clear from the granola bars for a while, at least for the next 45 minutes or so. And then that post has to heal. And because your jaw and your gums and your body have to, you know, bond around that, then they finally put in the fake tooth or the implant, screws into that hollow screw that's in there. Apparently, the replacement tooth or the implant tooth will then have like a little post on it, and that will screw into the hollow post that is in my mouth, in the space where the tooth was. So, you know, when they pull the tooth out, they first have to, you know, that has to heal, but then they also have to make sure that your jaw is strong enough to take this post. It's more like carpentry than dentistry, really. A lot of surgeries, doctors have to be more like carpenters than they do dentists or surgeons, it seems. You see some of these operations on television, and I mean they've got some major power tools with them. It looks like are you going to build a porch? Are you going to build a deck? Or are you going to fix my hip? install a window, or are you going to put in take out a tooth? I mean, there's quite a few pieces of major Black and Decker type tools that are electric, or sometimes they're not. They're handheld. But man, it almost looks like medieval times, like medieval barber. Wow, Theodoric, medieval barber. Oh, there's a reference for you, Steve Martin fans. But so you know, they take your tooth out, and then they have to like put in some kind of a bone graft to make sure that your bone is strong enough, your jaw is strong enough, because of course, you know, they're going to have to drill. Ugh, I know. Doesn't this sound crazy? You have to drill this post into your mouth, into your gums, into your jaw. So, back in November, I went and got the tooth pulled out, and I was very pleased in the fact that there was really no major, aftermath. I had no pain at all. No bleeding. It healed very quickly right after the oral surgery. And then now it was just a waiting game to wait 2 or 3 months or longer, but you know, before, I had the next procedure done of putting this post in. I should have had it done around, you know, in late February or so, but then my wife and I were going on a vacation at that time, just before I would have gone, when I'd hit the 3 month mark. And I was like, you know, I would rather not have, even though they say, oh, the recovery for this is easy. I don't want to even, you know, chance it. What if something happens where there's an infection, blah, 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 in the recovery of it, and then all of a sudden now you're in pain or something for the trip. So let's just, you know, the doctor said, well, the more time, the better. You know, I mean, they'd like to, I mean, they're just looking at it from your standpoint. Hey, you want to get this procedure done. So they would rather wait 4 months or even longer, because it just means that your jaw and the bone graft will get even more strong. So they didn't really mind that I said, well, can we put this off, another month or so, because I had a few things going on, the vacation and a few things in March as well. And so it was like, you know, it might be just, you know, easier, in March or April. And so ultimately, and then of course you get into that, and then now the oral surgeon isn't available until this, blah, 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 blah. So ultimately I had it done, May 2nd. So it was actually, you know, like 5 or 6 months after, which was fine. you know, the dentist was, you know, the oral surgeon's like, that's fine. I mean, if you want to wait this long, you know, we just, you know, people like to get this thing over with. I mean, yeah, you do have this big space in your tooth. It is on, on the side, you know, where I chew. Obviously that's probably why, you know, the tooth got affected, and it's a major chewing tooth too. So that's why you want to get it replaced too. I mean, there was a question. I'm like, well, do I really need to get this replaced? I mean, after the sensitivity that the, when the tooth was pulled, I was sort of getting used to the fact, you know, it didn't hurt. I was learning how to eat on the other side. I'm like, well, do I really need to go through the rest of this? I mean, the tooth is gone. It's a very expensive procedure. Thank God, you know, insurance covers, you know, portions of it as you go to each procedure, but not all of it. So it can be expensive. But ultimately, you know, then the doctors say, well, but if you don't and you leave, if you leave that space there, and it's kind of a big space, it's a major tooth, then your other teeth may start to move to close that, and then you're going to start to have more problems. So you're better off to replace it. It'll make it easier for you to eat, and it also will, you know, keep any of these further types of things away from you. So, oh, geez, you know, here we go. So, yeah, so that's when I decided to go down the road of having this implant. But it's been quite a road. So I had it in May, part two. Now they took several X-rays before the procedure to make sure that, you know, that the bone graft had taken and get a chance to see now what you know, it's been 3, 4, 5 months. You know, how does it look, and what will they, where will they need to go in to put this post in, and everything looks good. And so, the, you know, now in today's world, it's amazing with, you know, the computer technology. I mean, you know, X-rays are done in 2 seconds. You know, before it was like, oh, you got to wait for an X-ray. Now you see them in 5 seconds. It's amazing. And they're also able to create many different views and many different aspects of the area, so you see that X-ray. But there was one picture that they had of my mouth without my gums that was just the skeletal, and it wasn't an X-ray. It was kind of a almost, you know, it was a, almost like a photo. It was a, almost like a drawing, if you will. You like my drawings? There's another reference from Saturday Night Live, Michael Myers. My drawings. But I looked at that, and I thought, once again, I thought that that was like some kind of a general, like, stock photo. Like, well, here's the mouth. But I've been learning now, the more I get these tests, that they don't have general photos there. Anything that's up on that screen that you can see is yours. One time I went into the dentist, and I had something with my gum and my gums, and I went in there, and they had taken some pictures the last time, and I had come in for a second visit. And oh no, my dentist had sent pictures to this other specialist, and so I walked in. And I sat down, and on this computer screen, I mean, every doctor's office now has these computer screens with all your history and all your different tests and all that stuff, instant access. And I saw this mouth with these teeth, and I was like, oof. Wow, I mean, you know, they must have left the former patient's, you know, information up on that computer. You know, because wow, what is that? And so then I'm sitting in there, and I'm just like, oof, wow, that looks pretty scary. And then the doctor comes in, and he's like, okay, well, here. And I was like, well, wait, that's my mouth? Wow, holy smokes! Talk about ready for my close up, Mr. DeMille. Wow, that's my mouth? Yeesh. So now when I went for this X-ray for the implant, there was a picture of my mouth my teeth and my jaw without the gums. So I said, it wasn't like a real photo. It was almost, it looked like a photo and a reproduction. It was somewhere in the middle. That's why I thought it was like on some kind of a chart, some kind of a stock thing. But then I noticed that there was this space. And so I said, is that my mouth? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, wow, that looks like some prehistoric, you know, relic from Cro-Magnon man. Oh my God. You don't want to see what what's underneath your gums. Oh, jeez. Wow. You know, before the poor people, you know, when people died and their bodies decomposed and they found people's skeletons, you know, they saw them and okay, but the person never got a chance to see what their skeleton looked like. But today, thanks to modern technology and modern medicine, we're seeing much more of our bodies internally and externally, under the skin, in the organs. We're getting firsthand views of these things that we never saw before. That was doctors only, and they're used to seeing that stuff. You know, he said, yeah, that's your mouth. What do you make a big deal about it? Well, I never saw my mouth without my gums before. I'm sorry if I'm shocked. I'm sorry if I'm horrified. But I'm like, okay, so, you know, 100 years from now, if they find my skull, that's what it's going to look like. I'm going to look like the guy that's hanging, you know, in the medical student's class, you know, that skeletons they have in there. They got to come from somewhere, right? Wow, that was a scary. I was like, "Oof!" And I think I told you in the last podcast about this when I went to my dentist to get my other crown filled, you know, to make sure they get the right size and all that stuff. They make a cast of your entire mouth because it has to fit in and the way your mouth closes and the way you chew and everything like that. So they made this model of my entire mouth, of my teeth. And once again, so I just asked the dentist, well, what does this hole look like? How big, you know, what's going on in there now? And so he pulls this thing off the little desk in the office. And he says, well, here. And it looked like it was, once again, I have to get used to this now, realize there's nothing in a doctor's office that, you know, unless you go to like a heart doctor and they, you know, you see on television, they have like those models of the heart sitting there that make it easier for people to understand what's going on. Well, that's what I thought this was. He pulls this chattering teeth, you know, like those chattering teeth. Well, this thing, you know, has like this manila look of the teeth. It looks very clinical, but it's created like those chattering teeth. It opened and closed, and the part of both the upper and the lower part of the teeth were there. They were in this kind of like a putty kind of looking manila color, and then there was white plastic around it to make it with little springs. So it opened and closed like a mouth. So when I said, so what does the mouth look like now? What does the hole look like? He said, oh, well, right here. And I said, oh, so is that what it looks like? He goes, no, this is your mouth. I was frightened and shocked. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. That's my mouth? Those are, and then as I looked closer, I said, yes, those are my front teeth. And I said, well, what are you going to do with that thing? And he said, we're going to throw it out. We just needed it as a, you know, some kind of a model to look at. I said, well, can I have it? So I have it in my, it's on top of my refrigerator. I'm going to put some springs on it so it'll become chattering teeth. Yeah, woo, scary stuff. So now I'm ready for part two of the dental implant procedure. So, you know, hey, look, I mean, I was told that the extraction of the tooth was much more complicated than putting in this post, which makes sense. I mean, you're taking a tooth out, right? You're cutting in and you're getting all this stuff out. And I get that. But it doesn't matter. You know, it's still invasive. It's still major kind of surgery here. I mean, it's not 12-hour heart surgery. But I mean, yeah, you're cutting into your mouth, and it's an odd thing. You know, your mouth is only so big, and they're in there with their hands and their fingers and their instruments and their drills and all these other power tools that they're using. And, you know, anytime you go to a doctor and have any kind of procedure, there's still like a, you know, a hesitancy and a nervousness that goes along with it. I mean, you know, there's, you know, it's not just a day at the park. I mean, something's going to be happening to you. You're going to feel some sorts of pain, even if it's just a quick little numbing shot. Don't forget, you know, I mean, this is in the mouth. So you're going to get a shot in your gums and in the top of your mouth. That's not usually a place. There's not a lot of fat there, put it that way. You know, there's not a lot of loose skin that, you know, absorbs the injection. So, you know, there's always a little bit of hesitancy and the fear factor and involved there. And so, you know, I'm nervously calm. Put it that way. I'm nervously calm. Of course, outwardly, I'm trying to make it look like this is no big deal. And do what you have to do, Doc. That's why I'm here, taking care of that tooth. I'm not going to be screaming, not going to be nervous. Don't worry about me. Just you go about your business, my friend. You're the pro, and I'm just here to have that done, and I'm appreciating your talent and your training, and my mouth is in your hands, literally. But I'm certainly not going to be a high maintenance or troubling patient for you. No way. What do you need done? I'm not going to scream. I'm not going to get nervous. I'm whatever needs to be. As I said, meanwhile, inside, I'm like, okay. Here we go. You see that little tray next to you with all the instruments and all the power tools. And it's like, that's not just for show. He's actually going to be using those. What I love is, there's a bright light. They give you these sunglasses now. you're best to still close your eyes. I think I may have told you in the last podcast, during the extraction process, I mistakenly for a second opened my eyes. And the dentist, you know, the oral surgeon was over me working away in there. But, you know, they wear these plastic shields now, especially since COVID. And it was just a perfect storm. It was right at the perfect angle. There was light hitting it. There was a little space between his elbow and where I could see his face and his mask a bit. And I saw in his mask, that clear mask, I saw the reflection of the area that they were extracting my tooth from. Whoa! Holy cow! What the heck was that? Oh, boy. Oh, man. Closed my eyes very quickly and decided I'm not going to open my eyes anymore during oral surgery. Wow! That was another scary thing. So I told them that this time. I'm like, yeah, well, you know, the last time I took a peek, I said, I'm not taking any peeks this time. And he had said, along with his assistant, that this procedure, in terms of the recovery and everything else, as they said before, was a little, it would be less than the actual extraction. But it still took about an hour. You know, you're sitting there. I had him put. You know, I don't know if you've ever had any kind of oral surgery or anything done with your teeth, but. As much as I have always been accused of being a big mouth, it's more about the tone and the words that come out rather than the physical structure. And I really don't have a big mouth physically. To even open my mouth, my jaws don't open real wide. And if I open them real wide for a long time, I really get a strain. I don't know what they call it, somewhere like in the near the ear there. But, it's not a disease necessarily, but I don't really have the ability to really open my mouth real big and real long. And after a long time, it starts to strain and really hurt. And so when I've had any kind of procedures done, by the dentist or an oral surgeon. I've had them put this kind of little rubber block that they stick in there. So this way you chew on it and it opens your mouth naturally, but at least you're not straining to keep it done. So he said the most uncomfort part of this, because we're going to numb you up, is going to be that your mouth is going to be open for about an hour. We need to open at times, you know, very wide. And I said, hey, I already know. Can you give me the little block there? Oh yeah, no problem. So that was in there. So it really wasn't that uncomfortable of a procedure at all. And I have to say, it's amazing. It is amazing what kind of, I've said this many times. I said this during COVID and I say it all the time. I am still in awe of and have the utmost respect for doctors. You know, people say things about doctors, whatever it is. But at the end of the day, I think they deserve our utmost respect, because not only are their training and, their abilities and their knowledge, but overall, just the science of it and the whole medical industry, it's an awesome thing to see how we have progressed in terms of how we can treat people. You can argue about the bureaucracies of the healthcare system. That is a mess, always has been. But in terms of the actual knowledge and the techniques and the processes and the procedures and the instruments needed and the expertise to do these procedures by the doctors themselves, my gosh. I say this because, okay, I'm sitting there and he gives me two shots. He gives me one in the front of the gum and then one sort of in the inside of the mouth, more towards the top of the mouth. And that's a weird, as I said, there's not a lot of wiggle room there. There's not a lot of loose skin like on your butt or your arms or something to absorb the injection. That you feel that needle. But once again, it's a bearable pain and it takes a couple of seconds. It's the nuisance value of what needs to be done, right? So you hold on to something, you clench your fists and you take the injection. And but within minutes I could feel my mouth getting numbed, and they let it sit there for about 10 minutes to really get numb. And so then he came back for another one. So he's like, okay, I'm going to give you one more shot now. And that one must have been like the super numbing shot, because so it seems like they give you this initial numbing thing to numb everything. But because what they're doing in there, they really need you numb in capital letters. And so they need to give you another real major boost and bolt and jolt of Novocaine to really numb this thing, because you know they're going to be doing some major work in here to put this post in. And so he said, okay, I'm gonna give you one more shot. Well, I never even felt the third shot at all. Didn't even know he was doing it. And he was injecting for a while. That seemed to be a major shot. And I could see, and later on I understood why I needed to be majorly numbed for this procedure. And I'm just sharing this with you as a little insight as to, because you may need one down the road. And I must say, yes, there's a discomfort level to some aspect of it. And as I tell you more, but I really believe, and from what I've also heard from people that have had it, once it's completed, and they have the new implant in there. I haven't heard. I've talked to many people that have had implants, many more people than I even knew ever had one. And they all rave about the results. Oh my gosh, I love my implant. it's firm as, I mean, I've got no problems. I can chew and eat, you know, so everybody raves about the result. So, you know, once again, to use the other metaphor, you know, when you want to build a deck or build a new addition to your house, it's a lot of, there's a lot of chaos and there's a lot of dirt and it takes time and you're like, ugh. You know, when is the guy coming? And there's all the noise and the, and you know, it takes time. And there's all these ancillary things that go into building that deck or building that addition to your house. But then when it's done, you really enjoy it and you're glad you did it. And you don't even think about the construction part of it anymore. That's in the past. And so that's what I'm thinking will happen with this, ultimately. Right now, I'm in that construction stage, if you will, the construction phase of the implant. But I'm looking forward to the result and then the aftermath and the ease of which I can now chew again and not worry about anything. You know, because as I said, right now, you know, there's still a big space there. And every so often something does kind of, you know, get in there. My gum is not tender anymore, but you know, it's kind of an odd sensation. I'm trying to chew as much as I can on the right side, but I never really knew it, but my left side apparently is my chewing side. So my preferred and natural chewing side. I'm not sure how that happened. I'm a righty and everything else, but I chew on my left side. So now I'm numbed. I've got my sunglasses on, and he's like, okay, we're ready to go. Well, as I said before, I don't know if you've ever had any kind of oral surgery before, if you've had any kind of a procedure, whether it's just something simple like getting a tooth filled, like a cavity at your dentist, or it's more involved when you go to an oral surgeon for a root canal, which I've had, and which is a very interesting kind of two-phase project as well. And there's a lot of noise that goes on. It's really, I mean, that's the thing. It's not the pain. It's the noise that is disconcerting at times. It's not the pain. I mean, I was numbed to numbs, you know, you can't be numbed anymore. I'll be numbed till I'm never numbed. I mean, I was numbed up. I didn't feel a thing in terms of pain of what he was doing. But the reality of what he was doing, you know, was hard to ignore. It was like he was using a power tool. It was like he was building a deck in my mouth. And so he, you know, and I, you know, so he's got it. I mean, when you go to the dentist, even like I said, even for a simple, you know, cavity, you know, there's that drill, there's that sound. Even when we go to get our teeth cleaned, you know, there's for some reason the dentists always have these mechanical devices that they need, and they always make these sounds. Now, some dentists I know, they give you headphones. I don't have that. I wish they would have given me some headphones here because it was quite noisy. I mean, there was a lot of drilling. After all, as I told you, the process is they are going to insert this post into my jawbone. I mean, you know, we think of our teeth. We don't really think about our teeth having a connection to our jaws, but that's where our teeth are connected, folks. You know, those, you'd be amazed the camouflage that the gum provides for us aesthetically. We've come to appreciate the gums. But when you see, as I said before in that picture, when you see your skull and your teeth without the gums, you really appreciate what your gums do for you aesthetically. You may be taking your gums for granted. Don't take your gums for granted, especially aesthetically. you don't want to see what's underneath those gums. But as I said, the reality of this procedure is they're going to insert this, this hollow screw, and it's going to be, you know, inserted into my jawbone where the root of my tooth would have been. So, like I said, when they pull that tooth out, then the, where the root was, they have to fill it up with this bone graft and let it heal and adhere and bond and become now a full surface. There's a hole, obviously, when your tooth gets pulled. So they fill that up because now they're going to drill in later to put this post in. It's carpentry. I really believe that my oral surgeon, not only is he very talented to do this, but I would, if I couldn't find a good carpenter, I would call him to do some, you know, some rehab renovation if I needed something, a deck made or something. I'd call my oral surgeon because he seems very adept with power tools and how to drill and exact and with an exactness and measurements. I think that that guy could build, not only can he pull a tooth and install an implant, but I think he could build a hell of a deck if he had to. So all that training and that medical school, it probably comes in handy in his personal life as well, because on the side he could also do have a business of building decks and additions and handyman kind of stuff, because he's very adept with a drill, no question about that. And so, I mean, the reality of this is, as I said, ultimately, they're going to, you know, drill into my jaw, my upper jaw, in this little spot and insert this post. Now, I'm not sure how they do it. Once again, you know, you can't see in your mouth, right? And it seemed to me, I'm biting on that block that keeps my mouth open, it seems that they inserted and applied some kind of something into that space to either keep it still, or I'm assuming, once again, I have no idea. I need to ask him the next time. I was a little overwhelmed by the whole situation to really get it. Now, the next time I go back, I'll ask him some more questions, because I was right in the middle of, you know, you don't want to find, you don't want to know too much. You want to have enough knowledge that you feel comfortable, but you don't want to know how the entire piece of sausage is made. So it seemed like they inserted some kind of device in the space where my tooth will go, I would assume, to assure that the drill is exactly where it needs to be. So he's not just drilling freehand, but I would assume that he's probably putting the drill bit, and I'm sure that's what it is, perhaps maybe into another hole that is in the middle of this contraption that they put in your mouth. So this way they're drilling exactly straight and exactly in the spot. I am assuming that. Somebody who's an oral surgeon might go, whoa, Jim, what are you talking about? You're completely wrong. Perhaps I am. And if I am, I'd love to know. Because I'd love to know how. Because, I mean, this thing has to be, you can't be inexact on this. This thing has to be drilled into in the exact spot. And it can't be go too high into your jaw, because he was telling me about, we don't want to get too close to your sinuses. Whoever thinks of that? There's so much involved. Once again, I have utmost respect for doctors of any kind. So there's so many factors that go on here. You know, I'm just sitting in this chair opening my mouth. He's got to know a lot of stuff. And not only does he have to know this stuff, but then he's got to have the ability and the technique to use this equipment. He could be the smartest guy in the world, but if he has a shaky hand, it's not going to work. Can't do it. Find another job. It's amazing. I mean, you see, I don't know if you've had a lot of work around your house, but when you see these work people, I'm not just going to say workmen, work people, who, you know, they are so proficient with their instruments, with their tools, if you will. You know, building houses and stairs and, you know, with the, you know, with drills and with saws. It's amazing. I never had that kind of skill. So I am in awe of anybody that does have it. And especially there's someone that really knows what they're doing. You can see they don't even, it's almost a part of them. They don't even think. And that's how adept my oral surgeon was. I mean, he knew exactly what he was doing. And like I said, I don't know what was going on in my mouth in terms, but it seemed like they put something in there and they attached it. And I'm assuming that that helped guide the drill, because this thing has to be precise. You can't go, oh, I'm off a little. You know, sometimes you use a drill and you're drilling a hole, and then sometimes the drill goes to the right. You can't do that. You got to be exact here. So I don't know what went on, but all I do know is there was a lot of drilling. There was a lot of drilling, and the noise is loud. And so that's a little disconcerting. Your mouth is open. You're sitting there. You are literally at the mercy of this. It's almost as if the rest of your body isn't even being taken into consideration. There's so much attention and focus on your mouth. And as I said, your mouth is a small thing, and you know, it's being kept open, and there's hands and fingers and instruments in there, and then his assistant is there with the, you know, sucking out the excess liquids, you know, there, because when he's drilling, I mean, once again, he's drilling. This is what, you know, it's just like carpentry. I'm telling you. You know, the assistant was squirting water as he's drilling. So this way, everything is lubricated. I mean, this is just like, you know, cutting into marble or something. the same procedure seemed to be in place, whether you're, you know, cutting marble or drilling to put in an implant through your tooth. So he drilled, he's going, you know, pretty much, think about this. He's got to make, and it's got to be, I think he said, if I'm not incorrect here, because I asked him, well, how long is this implant? It's only 5 millimeters long. That's nothing. But it's still a foreign object into your jaw that needs to be firmly implanted in there. So, you know, it's starting from nothing. You're drilling in, right? If you have ever drilled a hole into a cement wall, it's a thick wall. It doesn't take a second. It takes several applications, and maybe even several kinds of drills to first get the beginnings of it and then go deeper. I don't know, once again. But so he drilled for a while, then he took a break. And I don't know if he's just giving me a break or giving himself a break, or maybe he was changing drill bits. I don't know. It'd be great if he pulled out one of those little red drill bit holders. Ah, I think I need an inch and a quarter here. You know, I mean, I was a little concerned when my oral surgeon came in with a tool belt. I knew that we were in for an interesting period here. So I don't know why, but he drilled for, you know, a couple of minutes, maybe even more than that. Then he stopped, and then I don't know if he got a new drill bit. I don't know what was going on. After that little peek I gave the first time during the extraction, I wasn't about to open my eyes anymore to see anything. I was just waiting for the time when he said, we're finished. And the whole thing took about an hour. I'm sure the process itself maybe took about 40, 45 minutes. But I was in the office for about an hour, which isn't bad. But he drilled for a good while. Came back three times to drill, and as far as then he stopped for a while. And I don't know what he was doing, and I just had my eyes closed, and I was like, "Well, okay, cool, we're all done with that drilling," because it was you know, it's just awkward. I was in no pain at all. Please. Let me emphasize that, absolutely no pain. For what was being done to me, for me to feel no pain at all, a miracle, a miracle. That, I mean, absolutely no pain. If they find a way to make that drill less noisy, and I'm surprised they can't, that would be my suggestion. If you could make the oral surgery drillings somehow more quiet, more sound resistant, this would have been a walk in the park. Because for the most part, it's been a walk in the park, both the procedure and the recovery of procedure two. But I must say that the drilling, the sound was at times disconcerting. And there, so he was done drilling for a while, so I assumed we're all finished. Well, no, I mean, this is a complicated, multifaceted procedure here. I was hoping we were done. We seemed like we were done with the drilling. But then I was like, well, but they said this is going to take about an hour, and this hasn't been that long, so I don't know. So I don't know what he was doing. Maybe he's giving himself a break. Maybe he's giving the area a break to just calm down from the pressure of the drills. But then he came in with a major drill. I would love to have seen what this. I only say that because of the sound and the movement. I never saw the drill. I don't know what it looks like. I don't want to know what it looks like. But, I mean, this must have been like he must have gotten to the point where, okay, now this is the major. Maybe this is the one that, you know, that he puts the actual implant in. I don't know what it works, but what he's doing. But he was doing some, this was major drilling. This lasted a while, and once again, I don't want to make you woozy, but I'm just trying to give you a little insight into it, so you can, and maybe this will help you to take away some of your apprehensions if you ever need to have this done, or perhaps you're tracking along with me if you've had it done. Either way, I think hopefully it's helpful. But boy, this last drill and drilling session had to have been a major drill, because, you know, he was holding on to my head and he was really applying pressure where my head was kind of shaking. So I don't know if I just have real hard bones. I'm a big boned guy. You know me, big boned. I don't know. But he was really drilling. And there was a noise, and it was sustained, and my head was kind of shaking a little. And I was like, wow. But what was interesting to me, it wasn't fear. This is what I'm saying. I am in awe of these medical procedures. Here's a guy who's got a certified power tool in my mouth, blasting away. I don't feel a thing, which is amazing. It's a miracle. I'm getting a little, I'm hearing this sustained noise. It's louder than the other drills were. As I said, my head was even shaking a little. By the thrust of it, I was more not thinking of the pain, because there wasn't any. I was thinking of, wow, the human body is an amazing vessel. Because, and the jaw, I mean, wow, our bones really have to be strong. I mean, you know, when you break a bone, you must really do some major damage, because I don't know if the jaw bones are stronger or not, but my point is, I was impressed with how much pressure that the jaw was able to sustain. I mean, my jaw didn't shatter, right? as I said, it was this 5-millimeter thing. It looks, sounds bigger than it is. But you're still drilling into this hard surface. And the Novocaine has numbed me. The bone graft has strengthened my jaw. And everything has worked perfectly. And the body is a resilient, amazing machine. It really is. And I was just like, wow. So then he got done with that. And then I could, and then I realized we're done with the drilling, and that was a relief. I could just tell. I was like, what's more? And I could feel him now screwing in this post. So I realized, okay, now the drilling is done. And when we were finished, I said the same thing I'm saying to you, like, wow, it's amazing the pressure that the jaw can take, you know. And I was in awe of this. So I got a couple of stitches, and I was told to, make sure you're careful around there for a couple of days. You have to have a soft diet for about a week. Nothing sharp, nothing hard. You know, keep it clean. They give you a rinse. They tell you to rinse also with salt water. You know, brush your teeth, but be gentle with it and let it heal on its own. And now I have to wait another 3 months at least. Now for my jaw and my mouth and my body to accept this post and bond around it so that it doesn't move and that it's strong and that it's sealed in there. So that now then the final process is, I guess, not the oral surgeon this time, but now my dentist will be inserting the final procedure, which is putting the actual implant tooth, if you will, into the space, screwing it in to the hollow post. And that's another 3 months. So as it stands now, that could be, what is it, May, June, July, August. It'll probably be toward the end of August, so maybe September. So this whole, and I don't know how long that process takes. I don't know if I first have to go for a couple of visits for the dentist for them then to measure the opening and create that. I don't know what, but it sounds like this entire procedure is going to wind up being about a year, most likely, when I'm done. It's probably going to be like November when I am finished with this, which is crazy when you think about it was all, for the most part, I assume, caused by this damn granola bar. Why did I eat this granola bar? I don't know, as I said before, I don't know if either granola bar broke this tooth. It certainly broke tooth number 13. I don't know if it broke tooth number 14. Maybe it was broke already, but it was a dead tooth, and so I never felt pain. And maybe it's just a coincidence. I don't know. But all I know is phase two of at least a 3, if not 4-phase procedure to have this implant finally finished has been completed. And I have to say, for all that was done here, the drilling and the insertion of this post, not only did I not feel any pain during the procedure, but I was shocked. You know, they give you the after care little sheet of things to do and what to take care of things, and they said, you know, if you're in pain, you can take Tylenol or ibuprofen, whichever you prefer, and could take that. You know, you probably be in pain for like 3 to 5 days, perhaps, and so take 1,000 milligrams of this along with blah blah blah. Have to take a regimen of antibiotics to make sure that there's no infection, and so all these things. Once again, the marvels of modern science, unbelievable, just in awe of all this stuff. The stitches will dissolve in a couple of days, and then it's just a waiting game. But I have to tell you, for what was done in my mouth, this drilling to the point that my head was shaking, right? I didn't use one painkiller. I was waiting for the numbness to wear off and waiting for a soreness. I think I felt maybe a little swelling near my cheek for a day or two, but nothing. It said, if you have swelling, apply ice pack. I mean, they gave you all these precautionary things depending on how people react. Now, maybe I'm just lucky and I didn't get these reactions, because they certainly had a number of precautions to take. Take these painkillers, this amount, for 3 or 4 days. If there's swelling occurs, put the ice pack. If there's bleeding, do this. There's all these precautions, all these options to do if. And I have to say, I didn't have to do any of those. I had a piece of gauze that I chewed on for about 45 minutes after the procedure around the house, just to stop or, absorb any resulting bleeding. But it basically stopped. I had this done in the afternoon. I didn't have the gauze in my mouth past 5 o'clock. I never took a painkiller. It never bled. Whatever swelling there may have been, it was almost indescribable or non-existent, to be honest with you. I felt maybe just a little tenderness, but it wasn't like, oh my God, your whole face blew up. Oh my gosh, I'm in total pain because there's the swelling. Nothing at all. They actually gave me a little quick ice pack thing that, you break, you slam it and it freezes in case you had that to apply. Didn't need it. So my recovery was nothing. 2 days later, just as predicted, the stitches, only two little stitches, dissolved, came out, boom. I was playing with my tongue, broke off, done, finished. And I can feel the post, but it's basically up into my jaw and my gum, so it's not like it's hanging out. So no discomfort. No pain, no aftermath at all of the recovery. Was just as if I never even had anything done, to be honest with you, really. Aside from doing these little daily things of taking these pills and doing these rinses, I wouldn't be doing that as regularly. But in terms of the area, the pain, any kind of after surgery kind of follow-up. I have to go in 3 weeks for him to take a look at it to see how it's doing and how it's healing. But I will have to wait at least 3 months to get the next section done. But I have to say, my takeaway is, I would say to anybody, if this does happen to you, or if you're thinking about it and you may need it somewhere down the line, or if you've had it done, you certainly know what I'm talking about. But it seems like I've been very impressed with the process so far. It's been pain-free and relatively discomfort-free, considering what has had to be done so far, a tooth taken out and a post inserted in over the last 6 months. I have to say, I haven't had to make any major accommodations for this in my daily life. That would, so if these are the necessary evils to get this completed, I have to say, wow. Yes, it's a lengthy process. Unfortunately, it is an expensive process, but, we have to chew, don't we? and so it's a necessary evil. But I am just, again, amazed and impressed and in awe of not only the technology we have. I mean, this something like this, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, it may have killed somebody. You heard of people dying of toothaches 100 years ago. Our progress in medical treatment and diagnosis is you can't even believe it. And when you go through something like this and you experience it firsthand, I think you have to be in awe. I've been lucky, maybe perhaps I've had some good doctors, so I haven't had any of the things that you maybe hear some horror stories of afterwards. Thankfully, that hasn't happened to me. And so I've just been able to focus on the procedure and the process and the reality of it. And wow, I'm not happy I've had to have this done, but in a way I'm happy in that it's given me a new awareness and a new experience, a new knowledge of just what we have been capable of doing and where, you know, science and medicine may go in the future. It's amazing. We take some of these things for granted now. And every so often, I think we need to take a step back and realize we have really come a long way in terms of medical diagnosis and processes and procedures to help us with ailments that at one time may have been life-threatening and now are life-affirming. And you can go on with your life with a little, not even discomfort, just a little, you know, extra time to get through something. But wow. So even though my head shook for a while and it was kind of loud, I have to say that phase two of the Elton Jim dental implant completed. And we're on to phase three. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNradio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. And don't forget to tell your friends, tell your family, tell anyone who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. Hope you enjoyed episode number 416. I'm Jim Tirano. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. You've been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. From the end of my mind to your ears.